Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 153. On this week's show, we are going to give you a spoiler-free review of Ralph Breaks the Internet with special guest Big Fat Panda John. John Panda.
Hello.
I'm gonna just call you Panda for the rest of this, right? So to my left, as always, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
And officially, say hello, Panda.
Hello.
Hello. This episode is brought to you by MEI Travel for all your vacation planning needs. For visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, traveling anywhere around the globe, visit the experts over at MEI-travel.com, where Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. We are LastGenPodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at DizMagicHourPod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. Of course, the Facebook group, the most active of the groups, is Disney Magic Hour. If you search for it, if you're already there, add your friends. And if you're not, then find it. You can find this show on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And Melissa, where can everyone find the pictures in the Patreon?
On Instagram, we're at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And if you head over to patreon.com/DisneyMagicHour, you can find ways to support the show there.
And although Ryan isn't here, of course, you can just look for the Main Street Gazette across all of your social medias. That's Main ST Gazette. And just type that into your randoms. Mr. Panda, though, where can everyone find you and everything that you do?
Just everything goes to bigfatpanda.com. It's my YouTube channel. It's my focus.
Focus brands. Hubs.
Hubs.
Branding. All right. So actually, we bumped into each other last week over at Destination D for the Mickey celebration.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
It was pretty good. I hate doing this, but did you, I felt that there was a little more variety, I guess, to the show a couple of years ago with the Adventureland thing.
Yeah, listen, they gave us everything in the first 5 minutes, and then we got nothing.
Yeah, like reveal-wise, but I don't know, I guess that's not really a reveal show, but they did though, they told us a lot of stuff that I didn't think we were going to learn.
Yeah, I think they ended it with the Mickey's Runaway Railway panel, and I really expected to get a lot more meat and potatoes out of that, and I just got, you know, a little sip of something.
Yeah, we didn't get much out of that. That was a weird close.
Yeah, like it was cool. They told us like, oh, we're gonna like use real, you know, whistles for the train and stuff, but then like we didn't even get like a ride through like concept or anything. I don't know.
She kept mentioning the theme song so much. I thought we're going to at least hear a good, decent portion of the theme song.
Yeah.
We got the name of the short, which I got to be honest, I don't remember.
Oh, wait. Wasn't it Picnic?
Yeah, it was Playful Picnic or Perfect Picnic. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and I think I just saw it on the Disney Dream because the Playful Picnic has a train in it, and it looks like the Runaway Railway train.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll find
out more about that, obviously, as next year rolls around. And, I mean, by the time D23 starts, it might actually be open. So, I guess, really, the next big thing we're going to learn about that is whatever they release on the Parks blog and or it opening. So,
yep.
We'll just kind of play that by ear. We're going to review, though, this week. We're going to talk about Disney's big release that just happened, Ralph Breaks the Internet. We're going to do a spoiler-free review because luckily, I don't think that there's anything like too spoilery that we can even really get into. And if we do sort of tread near that territory, we'll just speak in semi-vague terms to not ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. Although by the box office numbers, a whole lot of you went out and already saw it. Despite it being the holiday weekend, this is one of the busier weekends over at the theaters, and it proves true once again. But actually, you know what? Before we even do that, there was a big to-do yesterday. With the Lion King teaser coming out, the new Lion King in heavy quotes, live action, because there's nothing live. We've had conversations about that on this show, and I'm still really confused by the use of that term. But the live action remake of Lion King dropped, and it's pretty much a beat for beat, shot for shot remake of the original Lion King trailer.
Tell me you were blown away, though, by the visuals.
No, I am. And the thing is, I think that's a perfect trailer. They showed you absolutely nothing new. They kept everything in that film that could be a secret. But you now get the entire feel and look of this new film with them not having to show you anything, maybe except for the paw. Was the paw shot from the original trailer?
There is a time, yeah, where Mufasa's, like, walking, and I think it's, like, before he does the whole, like, this is, you know, everything the light touches is our kingdom, uh-huh. and, like, Simba, like, realizes how small he is compared to his father.
Okay, okay. That was the only shot that didn't ring a bell immediately with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to believe the movie is not going to be shot for shot like
no.
that.
No, oh, God, no.
No, I'm hoping it's just, like, that opening, like, they kind of, like, recreated the Circle of Life, you know,
yes.
thing. Just
I'm scared up. Because Universal did do that with Psycho, so...
They did, but no one's done it since because Universal did do that. It's yep. like,
it was really bad.
Yeah, that was the great experiment.
So I know they're weird. Using the music, but are they still keeping the Elton John song or was that just for the trailer? Do they really know?
Well, I think most of the original music is still in there.
I know, but like they're obviously re-recording it with the new voices. But like I was just wondering about like the Elton John one in particular.
I don't know what you mean by the Elton John one in particular.
Yeah,
but are we talking about the version from the film? Or are we talking about the version that like you can find that Elton John performs? That's the thing. I don't know which one you mean. Same. No, there's a version of him singing it, and then there's a version of like the Broadway version.
Oh,
and
yes.
In the movie,
yes.
In the opening credits of the movie, it's not Elton John singing it.
Oh, I thought that was him.
You know?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Is it directly
him? No, it's not him singing it, but I think he's doing the Asaveya Mamaritsu in a part. I think that's him. But then a woman does come in and sing it.
Yeah, so that's the thing. What do you want from that, Melissa? You want...
I don't know, because like the trailer, I thought they used the Elton John version. I thought it was his right. voice. I don't remember now.
You know what? I'm probably wrong on it. What would you rather have, though? You want Elton John singing it to you, or you want like a more like Broadway version singing it to you?
What do you want, Melissa?
Yeah, which... What do you want?
I mean, if we're going to recreate the opening, then I want my Elton John, you know.
I like the Broadway version better. It just, I don't know, it puts me more in the feel of the whole thing. Because like, that's Elton John singing.
I know, but like I'm the 90s kid, like that was like peak elementary school, like.
Yeah.
Lion
what about
King
you, John? You want Panda? You want,
I want Elton. I think I want Elton John.
You want Elton, yeah?
Yeah. Right. Just for that opening. Just for the opening. Yeah.
Okay, he just shows up, throws his hat.
Then he leaves.
Out.
He's out.
Yo,
he's
that. Out of there. That commercial, that Radio City commercial with him, where it's basically like going back through his whole life.
The one they showed us at the convention?
No, this is just totally something else. It's just something they do for Radio City. They always do like a Christmas commercial, and it's him playing your song, but as like current age, and then it just goes backwards through time to the moment where he got that piano from his mother on Christmas.
I didn't think I saw it.
Oh, it's good, man. I'll find the link. I'll send it to you.
Find
it's
that.
Really,
I do want to see
really
that.
Good. All right, so let's talk about Ralph Breaks the Internet. I think it goes without saying that for most people, Wreck-It Ralph, the first one was a really big surprise. I don't know if it was hot on many people's radars. Me being into the stuff that I am, it was very much on my radar, especially with John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman. Up in front of it, that was something, you know, I was very excited to see as a fan of them. And it became a very big hit and very, very happy. And here we are a couple of years later, we get a sequel.
It's actually 6 years, which they like mentioned.
It is what?
They mentioned it in Ralph Breaks the Internet. Like, oh, we've been doing this for 6 years. And I was like, that's not right. And then I was reading it and it says
wow.
6 years.
My God.
I'm like, is that accurate?
I would have said 3 at most.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like 6 years.
So evidently 6 years ago, Wreck-It, is that right?
I'm going to look it up. It was 2012.
That's crazy. Wow. Okay. So yeah, 6 years ago, Wreck-It Ralph came out. And now we have Ralph Breaks the Internet. And, you know, everyone's back. John C. Reilly, Sarah Silverman, Jack McBrayer and Jane Lynch are in there. Alan Tudyk is back, not as the original role that he had, but he's back in there too.
Okay, it amazes me how he can you know how some voice actors, you know it's them?
Yeah.
With Alan Tudyk, you really do not know it's him.
I know, and you're always like, oh, that was him at the end.
Yeah, he's just fantastic.
Yeah.
He really takes on a different character. It's a little scary.
Yeah, he is now, you know, he is the Ratzenberger to Walt Disney Animation Studios.
Yeah.
I think, you know, now I mean, it's got to be, I mean, obviously 6 years ago, he put what I would say is one of the best Disney villains of all time, King Candy, on the map. And ever since that, and even was Frozen was pre Wreck-It?
I think so.
Anyways,
he's Wait, who was Alan in Frozen?
He is
he Snowball?
Huh?
Wasn't he Snowball?
No, he's Weaselton, Wesselton.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Weaselton, yes.
Yeah, because then he's the weasel in Zootopia.
Oh, gosh.
From Weaseltown, when his character name in Frozen was Weaselton.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, they've been playing with that for a while. So, you know, original, you know, guys, Rich Moore and Phil Johnson are back again. Phil Johnson and Rich Moore back behind directing it again. And, John, you know what, Panda? Sorry, God, I keep calling you. I don't know.
That's fine.
Sorry, man. Terrible at that stuff. What did you think of it? You know, you're actually, I believe you told us earlier, you're going to see it again this afternoon.
I'm going in about 2 hours after this podcast recording to see it. Okay, a lot of it for me was a big blur. I think so much happened that I think I loved it. And I say think because, again, I feel like I don't have – usually I go see something and I have these great memories of everything, and I do. But there was just so much to focus on. I think I loved the story. I want to flesh it out again and watch it and figure out – where we land, because things to me were unexpected. I do like that the princess has more than just that scene that we see 1,000 times on every trailer. There's more to the princesses. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think I'm waiting to hear you, because I think you could change my mind, but I did think I loved it.
Melissa, how did you react to Rex Breaks?
Ralph Breaks the Internet. No, I don't know. I think I liked it as well. I think there was a lot going on, but like the laughs were really good. Like I felt like they were, if not the same, at least sometimes better than the first one. But yeah, like there's a lot going on. There's a lot to look at. Obviously, he goes into the internet. So like there's a lot of little things going on, like trying to catch some internet humor stuff that, you know, depending on your age, you might even, you know, you might get, you might not understand what dial-up might be.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to, like, hear, like, a bunch of people's reactions because I did think it was good. It was, I guess, not as straightforward in a way as the first one. Like, the first one was very, like, okay, you have the hero, the villain. Like, it's very, like, piece by piece. And this one I felt like was just a more...
I get exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Without making this non-spoiler free, the character of Shank, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit, unexpected. I thought it was going to go one way and does not turn out to be who I thought.
Yeah,
you know, actually, I don't think that's spoil. We're going to actually talk about this because I think this is very key to talking about the film itself, in that there is no big bad villain.
Yeah.
No,
and not in the way that you may imagine it. The real enemy is the own characters, their insecurities, you know, that play out throughout the film. That they're on full display in the first movie as well. They're just you know, heightened so much more in this one due to circumstances that, when explained, they make sense. They're understandable as a human being. If you have empathy, you know, you're gonna watch it, listen to it, and go, okay, you know what, I can see where this all comes from. But there is no King Candy. Like, there's no Wicked Queen.
Yes.
There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
So this film is really focusing extremely heavily on the characters of Ralph and Vanellope, way much more than even the first film did, because where the first film, there was a side plot. There was a side plot with Felix and Calhoun. You know, Jack Breyer and Jane Lynch's characters that followed through the entire plot line. Like, you went, you know, and you cut over to, you know, them two and the adventure that they were having and trying to find Ralph.
Yeah.
Did you just do a Justice League thing?
That was a Batman. That was a Batman 66.
And even the first one, like, you got even Ralph and Vanellope kind of like separated at a point, like they were doing their own thing and then they would come together, like, so there was a lot of like ins and outs. Like,
well, that happened in this one too.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, so like you had those two plus you had like the side plots with Felix and stuff, like, so there was a lot of,
and you had the villain,
yeah
which was another thing that you would cut to the villain, you know, having his villainy talk with Thowerball.
This was not formulaic.
No, it wasn't. They could have went, you know, there's a very light reading of this script. Like, if you were to say, hey, describe the plot to me in three sentences, where you would go, oh, well, the same thing is happening just with Vanellope's game as the first movie.
Mm.
And like you could look at that and go, oh, okay, well, it's the same plot, because when the movie kind of starts off, that's what happened in my head. I was like, oh, this, are we just going to do the same exact plot, just this time we're going to save Vanellope's game? But they don't do that. They take it in a very different direction. The only thing that I would say then, and Melissa, actually going towards what you were saying with the humor.
Mm.
Now, Wreck-It Ralph to me is, and this is only on a first viewing, so this might change over time. On the first viewing of Wreck-It Ralph, I thought it was not only very clever, but consistently funny throughout the entire ordeal, where Breaks the Internet, I felt, had more massive big laughs, but maybe they were a little more broken up.
I think you got like more story. There was a lot more character work in this one because you were focusing more on Ralph and Vanellope. So like, yeah, like there would be huge laughs, but then like, I wouldn't call them dips per se, but just more like leveling out of like, okay, now I'm going to understand what they're talking about, what they're doing kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What about you, Penn? Did you feel the same way? Did you ever have a moment in the film when you were watching it that you were losing interest at all?
Maybe in the middle somewhere for about 2 minutes. I do remember coming back going, okay, I'm back in the story now.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened to leave me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it just felt like it took a little while to get from, not from A to B, but from, you know, whatever, you know, later alphabet letters.
Yeah, you know, I remember
near the end.
I remember thinking, is all this going to hold up in the future? Are all these things going to be consistent? And it made me think of Aladdin with Arsenio Hall, that nobody knows what's going on now. So what do you think of that?
I'm right. I said that to Melissa when we got out. I was like, the only thing I can see is that the things that they played on in the first film, they're either so obscure that if you don't get that side joke, it's fine.
Right.
But all the other stuff is like, even if you're just growing up, you probably know what Pac-Man is, you know, you probably know what Q-Bert and stuff like that is. There is some possible dating in this. And it also might be a film that in 15 years or 10 years, we look back on as a society and we say, what the hell was wrong with us?
That's what I have a feeling.
Like this desperate attention seeking need that everyone on the internet has, like this desperate need for validation in having other people like, look at me.
But now, do you think that was a commentary of the movie? Like,
absolutely. I think so.
Yeah, I think that's
that
a big...
or they really don't realize that.
No, but I think they do.
No, that was part of it. Especially, did you notice how short lived it was? And she was like, sorry, you know, you were 5 minutes ago. So that's
They like highlight the transience of like being quote unquote internet famous and you know how people are just doing anything for likes and like all that stuff. So like I think they're aware. They might have not dug into it maybe to like, I know P, you were saying like their full thing, but I think it's also because it is a kids movie and like you can't, I don't think you can't beat that to an extent to make it like,
all right, well let's let our guest speak on this. So they make a very direct – there's a small scene in the film that has to do with the way people comment on the internet without really digging into it. Do you think that they could have taken a little more time to focus – not to focus, but to highlight the dangers of being so dependent upon the internet? Or in particular, the social media aspect of the internet.
Okay, I thought that what they spent on it was pretty good without dwelling on it and becoming preachy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do see a character, I won't say who, that feels bad when they see the comments, and they're all negative comments mostly coming in. And she does explain, oh, the first rule of the internet, don't read the comments. So I think that gets the message across without being depressingly preachy.
Okay, I can.
I didn't want them to go too much more into it. Again, because you don't know in 10, 15 years, if they go more into it, is it going to be less current, you know, less relevant?
Yeah. All right, and like just point. The blanket yeah. statement of like, don't read the comments. Like everybody knows that kind of.
Yeah. And we saw the person feeling bad about it. I mean, were they supposed to get into suicide and everything? I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't have wanted it to go that far. I just.
That's another movie.
That's, you know what? That is another movie. And it's actually called Ingrid Goes West. Suicide is. There is a portion about that, like harming yourself. But it's actually a phenomenal movie with Aubrey Plaza called.
This is not an animated kids movie. This is
No. Okay. It's a straight up like, look, this is what some people are doing to themselves. So not this movie. So yeah, I feel like they put their toe in the water on that, and then they were like, all
right,
but
they pulled right back.
Let's get away from there. Like, you know, also direct comments, maybe certain websites that they promo. You could just say, hey, this is a straight up garbage site. And they obviously didn't want to do that because they wanted them to use their image in the movie. But there is one site that is heavily featured and it's not the real name of the site. And you kind of get the idea. Yeah, you kind of get the idea that someone wrote that as this is a garbage website.
Yes. Yes. I got that.
This is what this does.
I even forgot the fake name they used.
BuzzTube. They blend.
Yeah.
A couple of things.
Do you see, but isn't YouTube owned by Google now? And Google is featured very prominently.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I feel like they just wanted to make a more pointed comment about BuzzFeed.
Yes, I agree with that.
Maybe. But BuzzFeed doesn't like feature
because Google
videos
was probably like, yo, you can use this. This is cool, but don't use YouTube as the place where people are trying to set themselves on fire.
No, yes. And like, but it, I don't know. I think it was just a mashup name. I don't know if it was pointed at BuzzFeed because BuzzFeed doesn't do like the videos and stuff like the fake thing in here does.
But they promo them, don't they?
No. BuzzFeed has like two faces because I look at BuzzFeed all the time. It's either just lists of random stuff, random quizzes, or it's actual news. Like they do have a pretty decent news section. I don't know. I just took BuzzTube and this as like just a mashup of like, it's the buzz. It's, you know, like the new thing and like a tube because it's videos.
All right.
Just to be clear to the person, people listening to this, you could hit pause when they enter the internet and there will be so many references to things that you could just have a conversation that goes on forever about each and everything. This is just one little piece that we caught on.
What we just talked about is maybe a combined 10 seconds of the film, which is kind of nuts. So there is like John, like you were saying, there's so much to see in this. There's so much to sift through. But how did you feel ultimately where the characters of Ralph and Vanellope are handled? Were you happy with it?
Yeah, I it took me time to get the click here. And after they clicked here, a vehicle would pick them up and take them to the site. I was putting this all together going, oh, okay. Is this, you know, I like the whole whatever myth they created that happens inside the internet. Yeah. And yes, I did like the whole Ralph Vanellope relationship thing.
And you were speaking before about Shank, who's voiced by Gal Gadot. And I guess the other big addition, well, no, definitely the other big addition, is Taraji P. Henson is Yes.
Okay. Who? I do not know who Taraji P. Henson is. Should I know who she is?
She's a comedian.
She's not a comedian.
Okay. Well, she's okay. She's been in comedic shows. I'll say that.
She's really well known for her dramatic work in Empire, Hidden Figures. You are thinking of someone else, possibly. But yeah, she really got big for that, you know, in particular Empire. Empire was the one that made her very, very popular.
Okay.
Cookie.
Yeah, and she just recently was in, what's the other thing I'm thinking of that I can't remember? Hidden Figures, that's why.
Okay.
Which was just a couple of years ago. I don't know if she was nominated for that particular role. That movie was blown up all over the place.
Shank character threw me for a loop. I thought I had it all figured out after meeting her for 10 seconds, and I was wrong.
Yeah, yeah. The Gal Gadot character of Shank is... See, now, in the way that you thought you like, oh, well, this character is going to probably become, like, the bad person.
Yep.
I was sold on that from the trailer for the character of Yes by Taraji P. Henson. I was like, oh, they're going to turn it around and she's going to be like using them or something like that. But they don't go down the traditional path of,
not at all,
quite frankly, of what an animated film from a studio like this usually does.
And I
did you like that, Mel?
Yeah, Melissa? I feel like there's a couple of movies, like especially Incredibles 2, just most recently, you know, like where like you think the person who's going to be a villain then turns out not to be the villain. I kind of like that because, you know, we've gotten enough cookie cutter stuff that I like that they're now thinking outside the box. I like how female heavy the cast was, you know, the main cast in this movie was. I like the messaging, like, you know, oh, girls aren't just gonna like turn around and stab each other in the back kind of thing, like they know they have each other's backs kind of thing. I like that a lot.
Even the Bill Hader character turned out to not be a super villain that he could have been.
Yeah,
the person telling them to make money by clicking here,
Sledgemore.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
what was his name?
I don't remember.
I don't remember his name at all.
We can find it eventually.
Spam water? I don't know.
But doesn't he end up helping at some point without being a spoiler? I mean, not a big deal, but I think he ends up not being.
Yeah, no, he's not what you think he is. Again, like there's a lot of people that they put in front of you that I feel in a more straightforward animated film, they would have wound up being like, oh, but what if I did this to the main characters? And they just don't do that. And I appreciated that very much.
Me too.
Very, very much.
It's definitely not predictable. And there's a lot more than the trailer, which I'm surprised. I thought that, don't you hate when every good thing is in the trailer?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially the princesses. There's a few surprising things I won't mention.
Well, that good at least segue, sir. Good
segue. Oh, good.
Segue.
I'm glad. I don't even know what notes are in front of you.
I don't have notes, but I just think that was a great segue.
Okay, good.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the princesses. This was... You know, for the Disney crowd, even if you maybe weren't that hyped up on a Wreck-It Ralph sequel, you probably saw this trailer and you see the scene where the Disney princesses are in a very just sort of backstage area feel. I think this also got your attention, which is why it's in the trailer. But I had the same fear as what you were saying. I was like, well, did they just ruin the whole gag?
Yep.
And they don't.
They don't. They're just setting it up.
Yeah, they're just setting it up.
It was really funny. I enjoyed that part.
Can I say the one thing that excited me the most of this movie? Or is that going to be a spoiler if I say it?
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
It's two little characters, tiny little characters that might
Okay.
I was so happy to see. I mean, come on. Did we ever think we would ever see them again in a new way ever?
Oh, wait a minute.
Cinderella, Squeak.
Okay. Yeah.
To see the two of them on screen again. I mean, yes, CGI as opposed to, you know, hand-drawn animation, but I was so happy to see them.
Yeah. There were so many little Easter eggs also, like when they go into like that Disney area, like I want to just sit there and like frame by frame it because, and we even heard at Destination D, like there's a part where they actually used hand-drawn animation to hand-draw, you know, to animate the Sorcerer Mickey in one part of that. Like,
that's right. I totally forgot
about
that. It's
so crazy.
There was so much going on in that shot that I actually completely forgot to look at the Sorcerer Mickey.
Yeah.
That's actually 2D animated in that scene.
Without giving away the line, the Meredith thing, was that funny?
Dude, that was...
I laughed out loud a lot.
I was going to ask you, what princess do you think stole that scene? My answer is Meredith.
Yes. My answer, the without one that commented blinking. About her. Yes.
Yeah. Then the other thing is really good. You know, what you were saying towards seeing some classic animation characters brought back, am I wrong in thinking this is the most – well, I mean, obviously it's the most recent, but have they ever done this with Snow White before?
I don't think so.
Bringing
her
back?
It was weird to see the hand-drawn ones CGI, where the CGI ones look just fine because that's how we know.
But the Snow White one in particular, I don't know why, but it made me
uncomfortable.
I loved the way it looked. I was like, oh, wow. I don't know why, but she doesn't look exactly how she does in the old animated film. They like the hair is slightly, maybe a little more bouncier or whatever, but I absolutely love the look of it where when I look at the character, Sleeping Beauty like looks like Sleeping Beauty, like 100% looks like Sleeping Beauty. But Snow White, they updated her look slightly.
Yeah, I think they did that with all of them because, like, I mean, if you look at a freeze frame picture of them, like, they all now kind of look like Frozen. Like, they have, like, the bigger eyes, tiny, tiny nose, like, kind of like they do in their animated. But, yeah, having it 3D.
Is that the Frozen look or the Tangled look? Didn't Tangled come out first?
Yeah.
No, I honestly don't remember. My timeline for their recent movies Tangled obviously is terrible because I couldn't believe you said 6 years ago was Ralph. But yeah, Kelly MacDonald, as usual, is the best thing on earth. Maybe right behind Ming-Na Wan for Mulan.
Yeah.
Because she's just amazing in everything. Would you recommend this movie, Melissa?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And I recommend staying till the very, 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 very end.
Yes.
Oh, the Frozen 2 trailer was awesome. We have to say that.
Yeah.
The Frozen 2 I love the way they rolled that out. That was great.
I'm surprised that they wanted to show it in such an odd way, but I mean, I guess, at least I thought it was odd, but I guess, you know, that's how they wanted to go about it. So there you go, Frozen 2. Mr. Panda, would you suggest this film to go be seen in the theaters?
Yes, it probably. And I don't know this for a fact, holds up better in the theater than on the home video, even though I can't wait to pause it in places.
Yeah, when this thing eventually hits 4K, it is going to be a thing that I dig through and really, really try to find like those little pieces. But I think, luckily, this isn't a movie that lives on its Easter eggs. I think it's a...
I agree. I think they're there, but yeah, they didn't rely on it solely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a bunch of, hey, sight gags. They didn't just do that. They take a lot of time to properly advance the characters of Vanellope and Ralph, which is very necessary because I think there's a third film, because there's only one other thing that can happen with these characters. And well, anyway, we'll get to that at the very end. I think that they advance the relationship and those character arc, you know, very, very well.
Yeah.
It makes it that I want to revisit them again. And see maybe a third part to it. I assume like a final trilogy or something like that. I think they did a really great job. I just want to see how I find the humor in a number of years. But, you know, for now, sitting in front of, you know, a microphone and saying like whether or not you should watch it, I think you should definitely go check it out. So towards like the future of Ralph, we'll just talk about this quick and then we'll call it a day. John, do you think there's a third film?
I do. I don't know where it could go. You seem to know where it could go. I do not.
I have an inkling.
But it didn't end the way I thought it would either.
No, it did not. It did not end the way I thought it would.
Yeah.
If you write out the first half hour, like, hey, this is my short pitch for this movie, I'm not guessing where the film goes at the end. But, you know, we've seen Ralph's game have an issue. We've seen Vanellope's game have an issue. Guys, they live in an arcade. That arcade is not going to stay open. If I had to make like a wild guess in the dark, this is probably maybe why they won't go with it, because this is just sort of, I feel like, on Front Street. That third movie is like Wreck-It Ralph Game Over or something like that.
Yeah, Lidwack already mentions they don't have the money for like a piece of equipment.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're already setting it up. I think you're right.
It's a $200 piece. I mean, like this isn't the first 5 minutes of the movie, so don't worry about this part, guys. It's a $200 piece of equipment he has to replace. And he says, oh, this game doesn't make that much in a year.
Right?
So
that scared me too.
When he said that, I was like, oh. I mean, now he's talking about a 6-year-old arcade game. That totally makes sense. But there is a point where Disney Quest closes. And I think that that's the third movie. And it's where does everyone go?
I don't know.
So it's sort of the Toy Story way of things.
Could be.
You know, where like eventually it doesn't end well.
Something worth mentioning. We keep hearing these rumors that Stitch's Great Escape will become a Wreck-It Ralph attraction. We don't know that this is true for sure, but it sounds pretty legit because I'm hearing it from everywhere. There's things in this movie that make me see how they could retrofit the existing structure in the building to, you know, when they're going through as capsules into the internet that's on the trailer, uh-huh. I could just see them dropping capsules into the tube and then the tube opening and different projections around the room. I'm not saying that'll even happen. They could just gut the whole thing. But I do see where that could possibly fit in.
So you know what? Without even realizing it, you just described the VR experience at the Void because we did it yesterday.
Oh, and I did do that. I enjoyed that. Did you like it?
I really liked it.
I liked it better than the Star Wars one, quite honestly.
Did you really? Okay, the pancake gun and the thing.
yeah, no, but I'm with you. I think that that's something that I want to see. I would love to see Ralph, as much as I will also then say I'd love for them to do an attraction that isn't based on an IP. If we're going to be throwing IPs everywhere, I Wreck-It Ralph would be one of my tops.
Yeah.
It really would. Only if King Candy is back in it, though.
Can we bring him
back in some way.
God, he is great.
But yeah, no, I hope that's accurate. Now that we know that that building is like being deconstructed from the inside, with the reveal of the, you know, the de-scalped Stitch animated animatronic, I would love to see a Wreck-It Ralph thing in there. I don't know if it fits into the theme of Tomorrowland, but what the hell else does, so who knows?
Nothing does. It should be some other land.
Well, yeah, I mean, video game land. If you're going to have Tron, you're going to have Wreck-It Ralph. Just, I don't know.
I mean, all the Ralph movies are, like, progressing through the ages, so... Because he went from, like, arcade to, like, internet age to, I don't know what's after.
There's a VR right now. Yeah, I mean, quote-unquote, you know, there's a VR thing right now, so... Maybe he just, I don't know, finds...
Maybe they just get a website.
Yeah.
Maybe he's there. They get uploaded to the internet and they're on part of an emulator and that's it. They live forever.
That's good. Where everything else lives.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe that's where it's at. But all right, guys, hey, go out there. Go check out Wreck-It Ralph if you haven't seen it. I think you'll all really enjoy it. I really do. Or actually, you can also see Ralph Breaks the Internet, as I constantly will say that name wrong. Panda, thank you so much for joining us this week. I know you're not feeling great.
Thank you very much,
guys. I appreciate
you
taking the time on your Sunday for joining us for a little bit. And we just got to get together and get dinner.
Absolutely.
Soon. And until then, actually, just one more time, where can everyone find you and all the work that you do?
Thank you. BigFatPanda.com. Twitter is BigFatPandaShow.
Guys, if you listen to this show, you already listen to Panda, but that's where you can find him.
I hope. Thank you guys very much.
So until next week, guys, we're going to be back with Watcher in the Woods as we do the full diving headfirst into the era of the 80s. We had Midnight Madness just last week. We have Bette Davis with Watcher in the Woods coming up for you next week. Melissa saw it. She loved it. And until next week, say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Panda.
Goodnight, Panda.
Good night, Pete. See y'all next week.